Hi, I'm Eric Thompson, the design development lead of the team that works on Office UI Fabric. Today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the history of the toolkit, the philosophy behind it, what's included, and also what's on the roadmap for us over the future. So if you've heard of Office UI Fabric, you've probably heard a pitch that sounds a little something like this. Office UI Fabric is amazing. It's going to make everything that you do look wonderful, just completely like Office and Office 365. It's going to come out looking perfect right off the bat, and you're not going to have to think about it. No guesswork. It's just going to look perfect. You can start with something like this. There's pink, there's serif fonts for some reason, and gray buttons. I'm not actually sure what's happening here, but it doesn't matter. Office UI Fabric, you just take it, apply it directly to the DOM. You're going to get some fonts, like Sego UI or something. You're going to get Office colors. And bam, it's gonna come out looking beautiful, gorgeous, just like this. All you had to do was apply it directly to the DOM, just right on the DOM, and it worked great. Yeah, so that's not wrong. That's true to a certain extent. It does look good, and it can be applied like that. But the reality is a little more nuanced, and the history is kind of interesting. So let's go all the way back to 2 years ago when it first got started. That was back when three front-end developers and a few designers just put together some core colors, the fonts, the icons, and started using that internally inside of Microsoft. Now the team's grown to over 10 front-end developers and some designers, all inside the OneDrive and SharePoint design studio who work on the toolkit. The philosophy behind the toolkit is just to come up with something that's JavaScript framework agnostic, that's really easy to use and apply, that has the entire Office 365 design language in it, in CSS and HTML, with the goal of helping designers and engineers be more productive and more efficient when they work together, both internally, but also external to our partners and developers. Over the last 2 years, as the toolkit has grown, more and more teams internally have adopted it, like the team that works on the Office 365 Chrome here. They use it for things like their iconography, some of their colors, including the background colors and font colors. The team that works on Outlook web app also uses Fabric. They leverage it for all different sorts of things, including the font weights, background colors, icons, font colors, and a variety of other assets throughout their UI. And OneDrive, that product that our team actually works on, is also heavily dependent on Fabric and uses all lots of the colors, the icons, some of the font sizes themselves, and even the components like the contextual menu in the panel. In addition to those three teams, there are lots of other teams throughout Office and Office 365 that use Fabric, like SharePoint, Office Mix, Project, Delve, Microsoft Dynamics, and the teams that work on the add-ins for some of the clients like Outlook, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. So back in September, we went on ahead and took the development of the toolkit and made it open source. And it's been a wild, awesome ride. 15,000 visits per month, 70 to 90 unique clones per month, lots of great contributions, lots of great discussions happening on there. And it's now the most popular repository in Office Dev. So it's been both a huge achievement and also just a lot of fun for us to be interacting with the external community. We've also opened up our distribution channels to NPM, Bower, and NuGet, and even a Microsoft CDN so that you can grab Fabric from all different sorts of endpoints, in addition to the GitHub place where you can go on ahead and clone and build the repo yourself. Also back in November, we took our internal documentation site and made it publicly available on dev.office.com/fabric. If you go there, you can see all the styles and all the classes that are available, along with demos and code snippets for each one of the components. You can also see the responsive behavior of all the components too, which is pretty neat. We're constantly expanding and updating this documentation, so always go back and see what we're up to. You can see all the new things that we're doing and see what else we can provide you with, samples and resources and more documentation. So, now that we've talked a little bit about the history and the philosophy behind the toolkit, let's talk about what's actually in there. So you can think of, in a nutshell, Fabric consisting of typography, including the type ramp, fonts, like Sego UI, the official colors that come from the Microsoft color palette, the official iconography for Office and Office 365, a slew of animations, a responsive grid similar to Bootstraps if you're familiar with it, components, including the different types of building blocks for the UI, which I'll get into more later, localization support across some of these assets, and a whole grouping of new investments that we're making as well. So when we talk about typography, you're really talking about Sego UI, the official font for Microsoft Office and Office 365, and the type ramp for the design language. So the type ramp is going to give you the perfect click stop so that you're not guessing as to what your font sizes should be. You just use a simple class like msfont-m for medium font, and it'll come out looking right and fitting perfectly into the design language. We've also included helper classes for things like weight and color. When it comes to color, we include a lot of different colors that come straight from the official Microsoft palette. So these are kind of split up into the theme colors, all kind of based around the blue that's central to Office 365. Neutral colors, which include your black, your gray, your whites. Accent colors, including all of the different vibrant colors that help you bring your experience to life while being still a part of the design language. And even colors like success colors, error colors, and alert colors. In addition to the colors that we actually provide, we also give you some guidance for contrast ratios on what colors can fit on top of other colors on our website. This will help you meet the 4.5:1 ratio that we use here at Microsoft. When it comes to iconography, you're getting the official iconography that's used by the Office and Office 365 teams. These are all going to be used with simple, friendly class names that help you apply them directly to your application so that you get the right looking font in the right place. We also include a responsive grid which allows you to create nice, responsive, fluid layouts across breakpoints. It's very similar to Bootstrap, but it has some key nuances that make it specific to Fabric. These are actually going to be things that help it get tailored to the specific silhouettes that appear inside of the workloads that are a part of Office and Office 365. You're also going to see some functions like push and pull that give you some extra behavior that you can use. Across all these different assets, we also provide localization support, such as flipping for RTL for directional icons, and the flipping of columns within the responsive grid in RTL mode. We also provide optimized font fallbacks, so that if you don't have the right font in some specific language, you'll fall back to one that'll still mesh with the design language well and look good. We also include 24 different animations that are built to the exacting specifications of Office and Office 365 motion designers. Each one of these can help you bring your experience to life, but are also leveraged in our components, like our panel or dialogue. Go on ahead and check these out. You can also see little interactive demos on the website as well. So when I talk about components, think of components as just the building blocks for your UI and your UX. They are common cross-product patterns, not things that are bespoke or specific to, say, OneDrive, SharePoint, or Project. These are things that are more broad and generally applicable. They're also all built using HTML, CSS, and what we refer to as presentational JavaScript. So think of the JavaScript that's included as enough to help explain the design, like the pivots on a persona card or the selection behavior inside of a people picker. These things are there to help you, and they can certainly be used in your application, but they're also easily removed and replaced with whatever it is that you're using for your specific project, so that you can replace things with something that's specific to your framework, or maybe if you don't want to take a dependency on jQuery, they should be easily removable. So when we talk about the components, we break them up into a couple of different categories. One of the big ones is inputs, which includes things like buttons, checkboxes, radio buttons, toggle switches, text fields, and dropdowns. We also include pickers, like the people picker, date picker, and the face pile. Additionally, there are also layout components, such as this OA or mail style list, dialogues, contextual menus with submenus, callouts with beaks that can point in different directions, and panels. We also include content, which is primarily centered around people or personas. And you can see all the personas there on the left and the varying sizes. We also include presence indicators, the persona card, and even a responsive table. The right way to think about all of these assets is that it's a palette. It's a palette that helps you paint your UI and your UX so that it'll look great and it'll look like it's seamless with the rest of Office and Office 365. You should pick, choose, and modify these things to suit your needs and to suit the needs of your customer and your specific project. But keep in mind that every one of these little differences that you might make or these little tweaks might deviate from the design language. I'd recommend checking out the UX guidelines for add-ins to learn a little bit more about how Fabric can be used as a palette specific to a certain type of project. In addition to all of those visual assets, we also include a variety of tooling that you can leverage that internally we leverage all the time. We use Gulp for automated building and watching. So if you clone down the repo, we actually provide instructions so that you can go on ahead and build it yourself. We use this whenever we're tweaking components, say, for a specific experience. We also recently added a bundling tool, which allows you to reduce the footprint of Fabric within your projects by helping you kind of weed out the things that you don't need, like a bunch of components you may not use, and only pull in the dependencies that are required for those things. And this helps to reduce bloat inside of your projects. We also recently converted from LESS to SAS, which has been really good, and we're really excited to be on SAS now and to be on a new technology that helps both our internal partners and external folks onboard easier. When we look to the future, we have to think about our long-term roadmap, not just in the near term, but in the long term. And the best way for you to check that out is to actually view our roadmap within our repo. We have a little markdown file called Fabric Roadmap where you can see the upcoming planned work in addition to possible future improvements. Many of the items that are on these lists actually came from issues that people filed against us, suggestions, concerns, new ideas. So definitely swing by the repo and drop us a note if you think you have something you'd like to add. One of the big things we're working on right now and that we'll have before the end of March is the initial seed for Fabric for iOS. Right now, it only includes colors, a hashing algorithm that takes in a string and spits out a specific color, and the type ramp. But we're also working on controls that'll come up over the next 6 months. These will all leverage this core aspect of Fabric for iOS, and we hope to grow it over time. So swing by the website to learn more, see some documentation, and hopefully see when we're going to have more things out. We're also working on design language updates. This is going to include updated iconography, like what you see on the right, but it's also going to include updated components. You can think of all of this as probably carrying more of the look and feel of Windows 10, but it's a longer pull item for us that'll take us 6 months or so for us to finish out, but we look forward to rolling out the next evolution of the design language to everybody. Alongside those two bigger things, we have a lot of other work we've been doing too. We recently converted from JavaScript over to TypeScript, which has been really great. We've also been working on a set of toolkits leveraged by designers, not just code, inside the tools that they love. We're also constantly working on brand new components. And since Fabric serves as also a documentation for the design language, new patterns that emerge in our products are things that we build into the toolkit so that not only internal teams can use them, but you guys can use them as well. If you have a question, comment, concern, or suggestion, feel free to swing by our repo underneath Office Dev. You can file an issue against us and get in touch with someone on the team. We're pretty quick to respond, and we're always looking for new ideas and, of course, bugs and contributions if you want to make them. It is an open source project, after all. So swing by and say hi. Thank you.